Hi Church, I'm YC,
and welcome to this week's Church Online. We are currently in a series called The Tough Questions, which answers challenging questions in life. Questions like, how do you find hope, or how to face sufferings in life? And today we are going to address the topic, peace. The word peace has multiple meanings. Sometimes it's used to describe relationships between two people or two nations. And sometimes it is used to describe a feeling, a state of mind, the inner peace that people try to achieve through meditations. And in certain cultures, people even use the word peace to greet one another. But what does the Bible have to say about peace? Today, our minister, Al, is going to open the Bible with us and share with us how to find a peace that's not based on circumstances. But before diving into the Bible, Emmanuel from Inner City Ministries is going to share with us some of the work his organization is doing. And then our minister, Alex, he has a few announcements for us.
Hi, I'm Emmanuel. I'm an executive director in Inner City Ministries. I was born and raised in India as a missionary kid. I came to Hong Kong in 2012 as a YWAM missionary. And I started working with Inner City Ministry in 2014, where I met my beautiful wife, Cecilia, and we got married in 2016 here in St. Andrew's Church. We are working one of the most vulnerable and underprivileged community group here in Hong Kong, and they are Nepalese. There are over 60,000 Nepalese living in Hong Kong. Actually, if we trace back the history, they came here as a British soldier, and they were here to protect the city. And after handover in 1997, they decided to stay here in Hong Kong, and most of them, they started working elementary job. And if we see here now, they are working in security guards. Most of them, they're working in construction areas, and young people, they are working in the bar and restaurants and in the F&B sector. Yet the community living here in Hong Kong since long time, but still they are having many problems. And the main problems we see here is they're having difficulties in the language, especially the language barrier. And another thing is they're having issues of drugs and also triads and broken families. And also if you see like lots of the young people, they are dropping out from the school. Those are the problems that now the society, the community are facing. And because of the coronavirus, this pandemic that affected these vulnerable people, because 50% of the people, the community members, they lost their job because there's no more restaurant running, and there are no more schools because the security guards are like they're losing their job. So that really affects physically and also economically. The families are having problems, they're facing problems in their daily life to survive. And whatever the money they have now is that they're spending the 50% of those money in their rent and in groceries, and we don't know how long they can survive. And what I talked with some of the ladies, they're saying they cannot afford their rent without work. So they're all just coming together in one place so that they can share the rent, so that's how they can survive. That we are appealing people, they can help our community. The first thing is like if they can provide some job, or else, I told you that most of their savings going into their groceries and rent. So if we can provide the vouchers or the coupons so that they can buy groceries, in that way we can help them to save some money for themselves for like in future use. For us as a Christian, our hope comes from Jesus. And if you look at the Psalm 121, 1 and 2, it says, I look up to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. So that's one of the things I just want to say to the people, is no matter what happens in your life, if we are looking at, if our focus is in Jesus, and then that the peace itself covers and comes into our heart, and that not only for you, but that pours out for other people. So during this difficult time, help people, sow kindness, and gather peace and love from the people.
Hi Church, I hope you are doing well. Three brief announcements. First of all, Connect. Our church has been producing brilliant material for your children to use on Sundays so that they can continue to grow in their faith in Jesus. If you've got a child in our kids zone or youth ministries, we warmly encourage you to access the material through our weekly emails or our What's On section of our church website. Secondly, give. Thank you to all those who've been providing donations that we can distribute through our local mission partners. You've just heard from Emmanuel at ICM about the incredible needs in the local communities. So we do want to commend and encourage you to donate face masks, hand sanitizers, supermarket vouchers, so that we can distribute this to our local mission partners and meet incredible needs. Please contact Debbie at the church office about that. Also, thank you to all those who continue to give to the ministry at St. Andrews. We're dependent on God's people to give to God's causes to make our ministries possible. You can find details about how to give through this website. And then thirdly, next Sunday, St. Andrews will be participating in a combined churches online service with over 20 different churches from around Hong Kong. We want to do this to express our unity in Christ together, particularly in this difficult season. The church service will look a little bit different. We'll have people participating from all sorts of different churches, but what will look the same is you'll get me preaching again. So next Sunday, make sure you tune in to either our YouTube channel or our Facebook page and join us as we worship Christ together. Thanks so much for listening. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
We are now going to read from God's Word, but before that, let's pray and ask God to give us an obedient heart before His Word. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for revealing who you are to us through your Word and through Christ. Please give us an obedient heart as we listen to your Word. We also pray for Al as he opens your Word with us. Please help him to be clear and be faithful to your Word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 to 9. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
We're continuing our sermon series called Tough Questions. Last week we thought about the question, where is God when it hurts? And this week we're thinking about the question, where can I find peace that's not based on circumstances? Now, the dictionary defines peace as freedom from anxiety, as calm and tranquility. Now, I don't know what picture might pop into your mind when you hear words like calm and tranquility. Maybe an empty, deserted beach on an island, or perhaps a running stream, or maybe a cool mountain lake, something like that. You probably, I'm guessing, are not picturing modern life in Hong Kong. There's other words that we'd use to describe that, such as busy, frantic, dynamic. A lot of us love the buzz of the city that we live in, but it also can be incredibly stressful. In fact, one recent survey found that Hong Kong was the fifth most stressful place to live in the whole planet. And we know the reasons why Hong Kong is so stressful. It's things like very long work hours, very high cost of living, high expectations when it comes to education and career, and a level of uncertainty about the future. All of those things make Hong Kong quite stressful at times. And that's just life during normality. At the moment, we're living, over the last year, we've been living in one of the most stressful periods in living memory. We've had three major upheavals. First, there came the social unrest. That's still in the background. Then there came the virus. We're still dealing with the tail end of that. And then the economic downturn. All of those three things together means that this is an extremely stressful time. Maybe you're experiencing that stress right now. You're thinking about the future and you're just not sure how you're going to get through it. And it's very stressful. Stress affects us all in different ways. It triggers that fight or flight response in our brains. And that can make us irritable. It can affect our sleep. It can affect our health and our mental health. It has a knock-on effect on the rest of our lives, our relationships, and our family life as well. Now, most of us know, we all know, that there are the good and bad ways of dealing with stress. We know the bad things that we shouldn't do, things like using anger and alcohol and comfort eating and retail therapy to try and deal with our stress. We know that we shouldn't be doing those things, although that doesn't always stop us from doing them. And we know that there's other helpful, more helpful ways of dealing with our stress, things like getting more sleep, getting some exercise, talking to people about our problems. But even though we know that there's certain bad things we shouldn't do and certain good things we should try and do more of, it's not as simple as saying, don't do the bad stuff and do the good stuff. Get some more sleep and you won't be so stressed. Part of the reason that we can't sleep is because we are stressed already. Instead, we need something deeper, more foundational, more holistic to deal with the stress in our lives. And that's what we're going to be thinking about from today's passage. And we're going to split the passage up into three sections. First, we live in a broken world. Now, the book of Philippians is all about finding joy in God amidst the pain and the stressful situations of life. Both Paul and the Philippian Christians were facing stress. Now, as he penned this letter, Paul was in prison in Rome, awaiting trial and a potential death sentence. He didn't know whether he would live or whether he would die. He had also lots of concerns on his mind about various churches that he was trying to encourage and support. And as well as that, we know from the rest of the letter that he was running out of money. Financially, he had difficulties. And actually, the letter to the Philippians is almost like a thank you letter. He's writing to them to thank them that eventually they sent him some money to help him. So Paul was under immense pressure, and the Philippian Christians were under pressure as well. Now, they weren't in prison like Paul, but they were facing opposition in the community for following Jesus. And also, we discover in the letter, there were some arguments and disagreements within the church. Now, Paul refers to that in chapter 4, verse 2. See what it says. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. Well, it seems like these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, were rarely mature, faithful Christian women, but they'd had a bitter disagreement that had led to arguments that had actually infected the whole church. We read about that in the rest of the letter. But so often, it's these personal disagreements that cause us the most stress of all. It's easier to rationalize the impersonal problems out there, but so often, the things that cause us the most heartache is those relationships with the people that we really care about. It's just worth pausing to reflect on all of the pain and the stress in the background to the letter to the Philippian church. See, Paul was a faithful apostle of Jesus, but nevertheless, he was in prison, potentially awaiting a death sentence, with lots of stresses in his life. Say too that the Philippian Christians were a really faithful church, but they were facing opposition in the community and they had some arguments within the church. I think what we see here is that the Bible is so realistic about life. It doesn't paint us some rosy image as if that if we just believe in Jesus enough, then all of our problems in life will vanish. Well, not at all. Instead, as we read the Bible, what we discover is that this world is deeply damaged by sin. Now, sin is selfishness and it's rebellion, turning away from the living God and instead going our own distorted path. It's because of sin in this world, so often, that this world is full of stress and heartache. The Bible also tells us that we live in a world that's under the curse, that because of sin, God has allowed more pain into this world. He's allowed there to be natural disasters and to be disease, and finally to be death as well. God has allowed that into this world to jolt us into the reality that we need to turn back and to repent to Him. The Bible also tells us that we live in a world that's influenced by the devil, that even though we can't see it, there are cosmic forces of evil at work. Now, these things, sin, the curse, the devil, means that we live in a world which is deeply stressful. We can't escape that stress. Actually, it's more helpful to acknowledge it. Acknowledging that we live in a stressful world is actually an essential part of managing stress. See, sometimes people talk today about the power of positive thinking as though if you just have the right mindset, then you can do absolutely anything. If you believe it, then you can achieve it. You can just power through that problem and be awesome and take that lemon that life has given you and turn it into lemonade. Every problem becomes a solution. Well, it is good to have a positive outlook in life, but actually psychologists are discovering that too much positivity can be counterproductive because it's simply divorced from reality. Well, the Bible takes a different approach. It calls us to be realistic. It says, weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. Be honest about the problems in life. Now, I think that's what Paul is doing here in the passage that we see today. It would be so easy to just ignore that little argument in the church in Philippi, to kind of try and brush it under the carpet, but instead Paul is addressing it directly. Well, so too with the things that are stressful in our lives. Sometimes we want to just brush those things under the carpet, but actually it's better to acknowledge them. Well, why not even do that as an exercise? Write down the things that are causing you stress and why those things are causing you stress. Tell someone else about the things that are causing you stress and why those things are causing you stress. Best of all, take the things that are causing you stress to the Lord. And that brings us on to our second point. Secondly, we see that worship is the key to peace. Worship is the key to peace. Look with me at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Remember, the book of Philippians is all about finding joy in God, and that's what worship is. Worship is making God our ultimate joy. So there, poor old Paul is, as he writes this letter to the Philippians. Remember, he's in prison, not knowing whether he's going to live or die. And throughout the letter, we see this instruction to rejoice. Rejoice, 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 he says. I'll say it again, rejoice. And you get the sense that he's saying that as much to himself as to the Philippians, because he knows that it's as he has his eyes fixed on God in worship that he will have peace. Well, the Bible tells us that we're made for a worshiping relationship with the Creator God, that it's as we put God as number one in our lives, at the center of our lives, that we find meaning and purpose and fulfillment. Now, it's only right that God should be at the center of our lives because He's the Creator of everything. Every good thing comes from God, and so He should be at the center. But so often, though, during those stressful times, that can cause us to be slightly distracted and to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. stressful times can also show that our hearts weren't always in the right place to start with. You see, it's not wrong to get stressed. We live in a stressful world. But it is wrong to become anxious. See, anxiety is not just being concerned, but being overly concerned about the problems of this world, about being too focused on the issues in our lives that we have to deal with. And sometimes that comes because actually we're paying too much attention to those things. You might even say that we're idolizing those things. So when we start to get really worried and anxious in life, we should always ask ourselves that question, or am I idolizing that thing? And the solution is to bring our attention back to God. We need to recalibrate our hearts and set the Lord our God as our ultimate joy. Paul gives us two quite practical steps to help us find joy in God. So look with me at verse 6 and verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we're told here not to be anxious. Anxiety is sinful. Instead, we're meant to come before the Lord by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now, prayer is an act of dependence. It's saying to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. I'm just a person. I'm just a mortal. This problem is too big for me, but I know that you are the Creator God, and so I'm coming before you and asking for your help. Will you give me your wisdom, your insight, your love, your perseverance? Help me to learn through this problem. Coming before the Lord our God. But even as we do that, we shouldn't just be asking for stuff, coming with a long shopping list, because then we're making it kind of all about us. Instead, we're meant to lace our prayers with thanksgiving. That's what Paul says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You see, it's as we come to the Lord and we say, Lord Jesus, I need your help in this very, very much. But even as I'm asking for your help, I'm praising you for your goodness. Thank you for all of the everyday blessings that you give us and that you give me. Thank you for food and for family and for friends. For all of those wonderful things that I can enjoy, thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the walk that I went for today. As we thank God for all of those everyday things, but also thank him for the spiritual blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as we say, Lord God, thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for my sin, that I might be forgiven, that I might be your child. Thank you that this world is not the end, that death is not the end. Thank you that you have a new heavens and a new earth stored up for us that can never perish or spoil or fade. Thank you most of all for you yourself, Lord God. Thank you that you are a transcendent, majestic, loving, good, and sovereign God. You see, it's as we pray like that we can start to have God's peace. Now, that doesn't mean that our problems disappear or that we're no longer stressed at all, but instead it means that we have a gospel perspective. We see our problems in the light of God's goodness. We know that there are problems in our life still, but we know that God is a sovereign God and a good God, and that he loves us, and that he's bigger than our problems. But that approach to managing stress is radically different to many in the world around us. You see, some people would say that the key to finding peace is to look in, to still our minds, to calm our spirits, to control our desires, to have that positivity and that inner strength. Other people would say that the key to finding peace is to look around, to live in harmony with the world around us and the people around us. Now, of course, there's value in those things, but the Bible suggests something quite different. It's not to say that we should look in or that we should look around. Instead, the Bible says that the key place to look is, in a sense, to look up. It's as we focus our mind's eye on the Lord God, the Creator God, and worship him that we can truly have peace. Now, the reality, of course, is that we don't always feel like doing that. We don't always find it easy to find joy in God, to pray and to praise Him. And so we need to really practice that as a spiritual discipline. The Puritans used to say, pray until you pray. And I've always found that quite helpful. You see, sometimes when we pray, it's almost as though the words drip out of our mouth and they feel hollow and empty and insincere and almost not really like real prayers. We don't know what to say. Instead, we feel like giving up. But in those moments, we need to persevere. We need to pray until we pray. As we keep on praying and praising the Lord, what we discover is that our hearts soften through the work of the Holy Spirit. And our prayers begin slowly to gush and to be more sincere. We need to pray until we pray. It's a spiritual discipline. Thirdly, and more briefly, our minds are a vital battleground. See, Paul is saying to us that if we want to fix our eyes on Jesus and avoid that sinful anxiety, then we need to be careful about what is going on in our minds. It's no good to praise and pray and then to go and fill our minds with something that immediately takes our thoughts in another direction. So see what Paul says in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul, I think, here is being very practical and helpful. We live in an information age, and not all of the information is helpful and good. In fact, some of the information that's out there is toxic and poisonous, and Christians need to avoid it. Certain videos and books and movies, we need to avoid those things because they're unhelpful. They take our minds away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to keep one another accountable about this. But there's also information out there which is fairly neutral, but which can still be unhelpful or counterproductive when it comes to anxiety. So take, for instance, the news. Now, Christians need to read the news and watch the news. We can't live as hermits and recluses in this world. But sometimes too much news can fuel the fires of anxiety. It can almost be like pouring paraffin onto our anxiety. So for some of us, we may need to be careful and even set a limit to how many articles or stories we read about, well, about politics or about the virus or about the financial situation, because too much of that can actually cause us to become more anxious and fearful. Friends, let's be realistic. We're going through an extremely stressful time at the moment. It's not wrong for us to be concerned about the future, about ourselves, about our children, about our friends and our family members. Not to be concerned would be to be short-sighted and to be selfish. It's right to have a godly, appropriate concern, but it's wrong for us to give in to fear and to give in to sinful anxiety. Well, instead of fretting and overly focusing on our problems, we need to lift our mind's eye and focus on the Lord our God and take joy in Him. One discipline that Christians have always found helpful over the ages to aid them in focusing their minds on Jesus is memorizing Scripture. These days, because often we have our Bible on our phone, which is great, we perhaps don't memorize Scripture as much as we could do. But even better than having it on our phone is having it in our minds. I'm very thankful that I was taught some of these verses at quite a young age. I think I was about 8 or 10, and I've shared the story with some of you before, but I'd watched a documentary about ice ages. This was before, I think, global warming really came to the fore. And this documentary was saying that, you know, global temperatures go up and down and the next ice age might just be around the corner. And so I was worried that the whole world would be covered in ice. It's funny, retrospectively, the things that get you so worked up. Well, I went to my mother and she very helpfully flicked open these verses from Philippians chapter 4 and helped me to learn them. And that was of great assistance to me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you make it so clear to us that we do live in a fallen, damaged, broken, stressful world, and that we can't expect to escape stress in this lifetime. We pray that you'd forgive us for those times when we're too focused on the things of this world, when we idolize them. Instead, we pray that you'd help us to focus and to fix our eyes on you, to make you our ultimate joy, and to bring our problems before you by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Amen.
I will lay them at your feet. Surrender every anxious thought for perfect peace. Your perfect peace. All the loved ones I hold dear, all my hopes and dreams and all my fears, choose to trust your name in everything, in everything. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of. Jesus, you have taken hold of me. All my life is in your hands. You are my strength. You are my strength. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that. All my cares on you.
friends. Prayer is a great privilege because we have a God who created us, who loves us, and longs to hear our prayers. Prayer is also a discipline because when we pray, we are reminded that we can't do life on our own and we depend on God who protect and provide for us. So let us take this time to pray together. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Father God, we thank you that in you we have all the help and strength that we need. Even when we walk through difficult times, your purposes for us are good and your love is enduring. Father, we lift up our world to you. We especially remember Africa, as the World Health Organization warns that it could be the next epicenter of a COVID-19 outbreak. The past few weeks have seen a sharp rise in infections and the spread of the virus outside large cities. We pray for the restraint of the virus, for good policies by governments in responding to the threat, for the provision of good medical care, and that economic difficulties will not adversely affect the poor. In these times where people around the world have a common fear of this virus and its consequences, we pray also for a common desire to seek truth about you and asking bigger questions in life. May you help Christians around the world to seek every opportunity to humbly, graciously, and boldly point people to Jesus. Father, we pray for our city. We pray for your protection over everyone in Hong Kong. We pray for the restraint of the virus in our city. Help those in authority to be compassionate and wise, and empower them to use their power and influence for the benefits of the people of Hong Kong. Father, we remember those who are suffering, including those within our church congregation, whether it is from anxiety, loneliness, isolation, sickness, extra responsibilities, unemployment, financial difficulties, or broken relationships. May you grant hope in times of despair. May you send your Spirit to shine lights on those who can only see darkness at this time, and help them to turn to you and find real joy in life through trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray also for families and marriages which are under stress. We pray for patience and strength for parents who may struggle in caring for their children during school suspension. May you help children to be able to adapt to home learning with resilience, creativity, and discipline. Help families to treasure and make good use of this unique opportunity of being at home together. We also thank you for the services of our foreign domestic helpers in Hong Kong. We pray for their protection and safety too. Father, we thank you for our growth groups at St. Andrew's. We thank you for providing us these small communities of learning, prayer, and mutual support. Thank you that groups can still meet online to encourage each other during this difficult season. May you help our growth group members to grow in faith and holiness. Thank you also for our leaders and their passion and effort in leading groups. Help them to be wise and godly, and may you continue to rise up more leaders at St. Andrew's so that our groups can keep growing. Father, we especially lift up to you our 930 Kisong member, Isaac, who's unwell and is currently being treated at ICU. May you heal him through the treatment and restore him to health by your amazing healing power. May you grant wisdom to the medical team and also strength and comfort and peace to Isaac's family. Father, last but not least, help us as a church to continue to trust in your unfailing love, your goodness, your provision for us, and help us to be quick to use our time, treasures, and talents for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Today, we have been reminded of the importance of a God-centered mindset in the face of an anxious time. We have also been reminded of the importance of prayer to present our request to God. So how should we respond to this truth in the Bible? Well, let me encourage one another to put this into practice this week. Why not be in contact with a friend or a family member and ask them how we can be praying for them this week. You can even share your own prayer points with them and pray for each other. In the face of this challenging and difficult time, let's continue to be prayerfully dependent on our God, knowing that God is not only willing to listen, but also able to act with our best interests in His mind. Well, this brings us to the end of our time together today. See you guys next week. Bye.